Again, thank you and praise you for this time together, and we rely upon your Holy Spirit to speak to us and through us. Pray that we have hearing ears of what the Spirit has to say, and we praise you and we trust you, and we have faith that that will happen today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today I want to just talk a little bit on, and it is a very little bit because there is so much on this, but about the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Turn over to John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We'll stop right there. It says the Word was God. He's talking about the Spirit-driven Word. He's not talking about pages on a book. I mean pages on a book, pages in a book, letters on a book, or in the book. He's talking about Spirit-driven Word, and we'll see that later also. But the Word was God. And so how many times do we go to the Word of God with the idea that this is the Word of God, this is God, if taken properly, if received properly? In verse 14, the Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We see Jesus, the Word Himself, becoming flesh and dwelling or tabernacling amongst us. I know that I'm guilty of this a lot of times where I just go to the Word of God and I'll pick up my Bible and I'll just start reading as if it's, well, let's see, what can I learn from it today? And many times it's like in a knowledge way, very haphazard, not saying, man, this is the Word of God. This is God if breathed on by the Lord. And you know, you can read and study the Bible in another way, in a way that it just becomes knowledge. And so that's basically what I want to talk about a little bit today. I felt the Lord speaking in that way, because we have every week a gathering unto the Lord, hopefully, and yet we all have different agendas that take place. We have things going on afterwards and even probably during, and there's different reasons we gather. And we just have to search our hearts. Turn over to John 15. John 15, we'll look at verse 26. Jesus speaking to His disciples, when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me, and you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. And notice here, He uses the word helper or comforter, the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is always that. He is always the Spirit of truth. He doesn't verge from that one iota. He will always be, has always been, the Spirit of truth. Now, the problem with us is that our idea of truth many times is not what the Holy Spirit's real truth is. We have many times, our own concept of what is truth. Of course, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so from God's perspective, there's only one truth, and that's Jesus. He is the truth. But notice here, he says the Helper comes, the Spirit of truth, and he always testifies of Jesus. He always lifts Jesus up, who is the truth. In verse 27, he says, and you will bear witness. You also will bear witness. That's an interesting term, bear witness. I don't know how many times I've used that term. Like, oh, that bears witness with me. That bears witness with my spirit, or that bears witness with my soul. Have you ever used that term before? Has anybody? All the time. It's what are we bearing witness of, or whom? Just think about that. I think many times we're too quick to say we bear witness with that. I think we can say it very commonly. It can become a common term. Oh, that bears witness with me. What is the motive in the bearing witness? Where is the bearing witness coming from? Is it generating out of our flesh? Is it generating out of our desire? Say, oh yeah, here's somebody that has common beliefs and thinks like I do, or saying something that pets my flesh, so I'm bearing witness to that. That may not be Jesus. It may not be Jesus. So of what or whom are we bearing witness? Notice here they said, or Jesus says, because you have been with me from the beginning. He says, you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. That's the way it should be, isn't it? That we should bear witness with the Spirit because we have been with Jesus. And so whatever the Spirit speaks should bear witness with us because we know Jesus. That's Jesus. Oh, yeah, that's the one whom I love. That bears witness with my spirit. Or that doesn't bear witness, because that's not Jesus. That is not the way my Jesus is. That's not the way that the Jesus of in the Word is spoken of or about. So some questions we might ask ourselves, does it agree with our theology? We might want to throw the theology out, because it could be truly the Holy Spirit speaking and it doesn't agree with our theology. Or is it the Spirit of truth within that is bearing witness with our spirits? Is it truly Christ, or could it be a shadow? And we've been studying, we got to look at shadows this past week a little. As to a shadow is never the real. Let's continue on here in John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Now here he mentions the Holy Spirit as being the Comforter or the Helper, meaning an intercessor, a consoler, an advocate. The Holy Spirit is our advocate, always, especially to believers. He's always a comforter and a helper. He's always lifting Jesus up, pointing us to Christ. To believers, that's a big thing, isn't it? We want to see Jesus. We want to know Jesus. We want the Holy Spirit to reveal Jesus to us and what is not Jesus. But then he continues on here in verse 8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So that is another part of the Holy Spirit. He's a convictor, if you will. That's probably not a real word. He's a reprover. He admonishes, he rebukes, he reproves. of sin because they do not believe in me. We could say there that lack of belief is sin. Not believing is sin. Can a believer lack belief?
Yes.
Can be walking in that. Very possible. Very probable. Doesn't have to, but can be. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So to the world and to worldliness, the Holy Spirit is not a friend. The Holy Spirit is not a comforter or helper in that sense. He is a convictor. He is a admonisher. And so, not everybody likes the Holy Spirit. And if we as believers, as Christians, are wanting to live by our flesh, sometimes we get upset with the Holy Spirit, don't we? Sometimes we say, oh man, this is tough. We're no different than the disciples. We're no different than the people back whom Jesus was with. It's depending on the motives of the heart, where our heart is, where our focus really is. But as a comforter and helper, the Holy Spirit is just that to believers. In verse 12, let's look at that one real quick. He says, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Isn't that interesting? He had not sent his Spirit yet, and he says, I've got a lot of things to tell you, but you can't bear them yet. That happens with us, doesn't it? There are a lot of times that I know there's a lot of things I'll be reading, and I just got to set the book down. And I've got to chew on it because I can't take any more. I can't absorb it. I can't get it into my spirit and into my soul because it's just too much. And so here he says, I've got many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. We can be confident that the Holy Spirit will always lift up Jesus. So one test there is, If someone ever tells you that this is the Lord and yet it goes against Christ, it's not exalting Christ or lifting Christ up, it is not the Holy Spirit that is speaking through them. You can be sure. He will never refute the word. He will always go with what Christ is and who he is. And so even as I speak, and what's said here many times, you go to the Word and you test, you judge for yourself what the Spirit is saying. If it's not the Lord, then kick it out. Throw it out. We are responsible in and of ourselves. And also I'll be showing how that works with both the speaker and the receivers. But they couldn't handle more than what anymore, because the Holy Spirit had not been sent. Now, we have the Holy Spirit now. But I still see the same thing holding true. There are times that we need to just take a little of what he's saying to us and digest that and search our hearts and say, is this for me? Am I willing in this? Because what happens a lot of times is we get all this knowledge and we go to this conference and we go here and we go there and we take in all this knowledge and we got all this stuff, and then 10 years later we're looking back and saying, I heard that once, that was really good, but what happened with it? it didn't affect my life. I just have it up here. And so the heart of the Lord is that we would take it and absorb it and let it be life to us. Let it become life, that it would be Christ becoming our life. In beginning at verse 13 of John 16, we see that he discloses what the Holy Spirit will do. He will guide you into all truth, because he doesn't speak on his own authority. He doesn't speak on his own. He speaks on the authority of the Father and Jesus. He will guide us into all truth. He always does that. That's his motives. That's his goal. Guiding us into all truth, which is Christ himself. So addressing the first on this, on the part of the speaker or the minister, there is the spoken word. And as I mentioned, the Holy Spirit is always speaking as he hears from Jesus, the Father, not of his own. What is spoken from the pulpit or what is shared on a one-on-one may not be from the Holy Spirit. Does that surprise you? Does that throw you back that a minister of God could speak forth something that is not of the Holy Spirit? I mean, how did that person get up there in the first place? By election, no. But I mean, we have to think in those terms. We have to understand as recipients, as listeners, as the body of Christ, that it is our responsibility to hear from the Holy Spirit and not just assume that the speaker is speaking words given from the Holy Spirit. That's why we say here all the time, go to the Word, search the Scriptures. It may be Bible, but it may not be Holy Spirit given Bible. We can turn this thing into law real fast. We can turn it into condemnation real fast if it's not by the Holy Spirit, if it does not have life in it. The one speaking must be full of the Holy Spirit and in a real living way want to glorify Jesus. Another test. Does the one who speaks lift themselves up, or does he lift Jesus up? Or they lift. That would be the proper way. They lift up Jesus. The Holy Spirit knows the condition of the heart of the speaker. It may be life from the Holy Spirit, but delivered in a very dead way. I mean, the speaker may not have any life at all, but he's delivering, and somehow the Holy Spirit's using it. Okay? It ought not be that way. It shouldn't be that way. How many times have you visited somewhere or been in service and it's just as dead as can be, but yet the Lord is speaking to you through what is spoken? He is able to do that against all odds. He is able to bring life out of death. But again, it should not be that way. The speaker should be full of the Holy Spirit wanting to lift up Jesus. I want us to turn over to 1 John chapter 1 a moment. I'm putting those of us that speak from this pulpit on the line here, because we should be. We should be definitely accountable for what is spoken. And we take that very seriously. In 1 John chapter 1, you know, we know these so well, we have them memorized. But again, this is, if it's living and real, Holy Spirit-driven, this is God, the Word of God speaking to us. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life, the life was manifested. That's an interesting word there. The life was manifested. The life was manifested. The life is to be manifested today. The life is to be manifested. That's the whole purpose for the Word of God being spoken to us, is the life is to be manifested. And whose life is it? Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Now, notice here that John is not speaking the words, he is writing the words. So the written word is to bring manifestation too, if received by the Holy Spirit, which again we'll get into in just a second. But when he put these words on the pages, whatever they were like back then, he was driven by the Holy Spirit. They were life, and they were meant to be read and received by hope by the Holy Spirit. And you know, how many can quote this from memory and just pop it out, you know, and say, oh yeah, we were handling the Word of God, you know. And this is not in any way to be a legalistic thing. It's just a real reality, the reality of Christ. Let's see here. Written or spoken, whichever way the message is delivered, what is the motive, the purpose, and or the desired end result? Why am I reading the Scriptures today? Why am I having time with the Lord, or why am I spending time in the Word today? Is it to get my little tidbit in to gain favor with the Lord? Has that ever crossed your mind? You might just be doing your deal. I've done it. I'm guilty. And to make Him happy. Well, we're right back into the Old Testament. If we're trying to do anything to gain favor with our Father. No, I'm in the Word because I want to know the Lord. Holy Spirit, open my eyes and don't give me more than I can handle. Even if it's just one little verse today and I can chew on that all day and make it life within me, make it a reality that it will change my life so that somebody will see Jesus, that Christ would be lifted up. Not I, but Christ. And then also, we as speakers must check our motives. Oh, it's my turn again. Got to come up with something. Anybody ever thought about that? Oh, I've got to share a Bible study. I've got to give a meditation. Oh, my. I guess I got to do this deal. And you know, those are thoughts that have gone through my mind at times. We just have to search our hearts and say, I want it to be the Lord. I don't want it just to be a thing to do. So speaking the Word of God, writing the Word of God, we're held accountable. We're held accountable by the Lord. And want it to be the Lord, wanting to lift Him up. We see, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We see Paul. Beginning at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And we know that the word of the cross is the power of God. We see here that Paul never exalted himself. I would suppose that Paul was before the Lord pretty constant before he wrote anything. He wanted it to be Christ only. He could have had a serious pity party and written it all down, couldn't he? He had a lot more dire straits than just probably all ours combined with the persecution that he went through. And then we see Old Testament prophets like Jeremiah, who did not lift himself up at all when God revealed himself to him. We see Isaiah, who was undone, and how he was spent for the Lord. And so, those that, and this can go to everyone whenever we share the Word of God, are we sharing it because it's a new idea that we got from the Word of God, or is it going to be life to those, to the recipients? And that can include us too. Oh, I just got this. Let me share it with you. It may be life to you, but it may not be life to the other. So we don't go about in a legalistic way thinking, oh, who can I share this with, or should I share this, or what? We abide in the Spirit, and we walk in the Spirit, and He is faithful and true to reveal to us what is Him and what is not of Him, who to share with and who not to share with. He is faithful to do that. He is faithful and true always. So now I come to the part of the recipients. The recipients have a place in this, obviously. There is the hearing of the word. There is the responsibility of the hearing. Those that are in the, say, congregation, if you will, or the body of Christ, not all can be speaking from the pulpit, if you will. If it bears witness, again, witness as to whom or what? Is it feeding our flesh? Oh, I'm glad he spoke that. That gets me off the hook. Our theology or our beliefs, or does the spoken word draw us closer to Jesus or have a desire to know Jesus in a real and living way? The body of Christ is just as responsible as the speaker. It's not a process of just sitting and receiving. There is and I'm going to read you something out of T. Austin Sparks in a moment, how he puts it, because he puts it so well. But there should be amongst us living, breathing, Holy Spirit, desirous believers wanting the word in that it will change their lives and lift up Christ, bring forth more of Christ as we receive that word. That is a responsibility of the body of Christ. To know Jesus in a real and living way, are we affected by the spoken word? Are we affected eternally? John chapter 6. John chapter 6, look over in verse 63 of John chapter 6. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. But the words that Christ speaks are always spirit and life. And the flesh profits nothing. That's another test. Is the flesh going to profit from this? Well, yeah. Is it Christ? Christ never profits the flesh. He puts it to death. He put it away. And so, as is always the case, His words give life. The Spirit gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. His words are spirit, and they are life. And then couple of chapters over, John 8, verse 47. He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. For far be it that anyone would come up to you and say that you are not of God when Christ lives in you. Can we be living not of God and have Christ in us?
Yes.
We can. We can be living for and unto ourselves. And here, Jesus is very direct, which I'm very glad that he is. He who is of God hears God's words. We can be sitting, listening, and not hearing the word of God. We can do that. And if we are, then at that point, we are not of God. We can be sitting there or listening, and there's Holy Spirit word going forth, but it's not profiting us because we're not in the Spirit. We're in the flesh. And we're looking at we might be looking at our clock thinking, when's this going to be over? And there's no condemnation. It's just facts, you know? We're not condemned. The sin issue is finished. It's done. We're not condemned. But we need to check the motive of our hearts. You know, check the motive. I don't want to go another 10 years and not have more of Christ coming forth out of me. I want more of Jesus now, less of me. And I know that's your hearts. In John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He will keep my word. You know, Mary, when the angel visited her, she pondered. She took the things to heart and she pondered. She pondered them. She took them in. She kept the word. And any time we keep the word, there has to come forth manifestation. There has to come forth. It's just that's like plugging the vine in. If you're plugged into the vine, there's going to be fruit. There is going to be fruit. And if you keep the word and ponder it and meditate on it and chew on it, there's going to be manifestation of Christ. There is. It's just a natural law of Christ. That's the way he is. And then to keep is to guard, watch, or keep an eye on. Keep it. And he says here, you keep it. You guard it. Nothing's going to steal this word from me. The devil, the enemy, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you guard it. Now I want to read a little bit out of here. If I can find it quickly. This is regarding, let's see here. The saints are to minister. Now here is a way, not the only way, but here is a way in which the saints minister. All the saints do not come up on the platform and give the message, but with the ministry, and really the ministry of the apostle or prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher is fulfilled by the living company. It is a poor lookout for the one who is ministering if there is not a company to fulfill the ministry like that by spiritual cooperation. And that way the Lord gets through with a revelation of himself. How much more can the Lord reveal himself when he has a living company? And that's where he's talking about, and that's what I'm talking about, that there are out there ones who want the Lord and want to hear the Lord, even if it's the most simplistic thing they've heard over and over and over. What is Christ, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me today in a real living way that can be manifested right now, this week? It's not a thing we sit back, we hear some new, gain some new knowledge, and we're right out the door and we're back into what? Our daily lives, living the same way. And so as proclaimers, I don't know if that's a word. I think it is. Proclaimers and hearers of the Word of God. Yes, proclaimers and hearers of the Word of God. May we humbly seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We need to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit. May we proclaim Him who is the way, the truth, and the life. May we ask the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts to hear and receive the word of life for the purpose that manifestation of Jesus may come forth for His glory. I don't want Jesus coming forth for my glory. I don't want people to say, oh, he's got so much of Jesus. Look at him. Well, you know that's a lie. We don't want that. We want Christ to be seen. And so may the Lord bless the word today in a living way, in a real and living way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who always lifts up Jesus. We desire that Jesus be lifted up in this place. Not in a building or a location in Denton, Texas, but in a living body, your living body in this place, Lord. And not just here, but all over. We desire Christ to be glorified and lifted up. There'll be more of Jesus in our nation. Lord, there'll be more of Jesus throughout the world being lifted up because he did say, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, it's got to start with us. We can't be responsible for the rest of the world. So may today there be living reality of an increase of Christ in each and every one that's here. We praise you and we bless you. We thank you for your presence in us today. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.